Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rancher on AM 770 KTTH, streaming live on the KTTH smartphone app. Seattle leaders think they've got a new plan that is going to work to address student mental health and violence prevention. And if it actually works, hey, that's good news for everyone else in Washington State. But will it actually work? That is what's trending.
What's trending? Your health.
Now, all of this stems from that homicide at Ingram High School in North Seattle, where one student allegedly shot another. There was an argument over the gun, that according to police. And after that shooting, you heard students and staff and parents say the same thing. We demand action. We need to feel safe. Now, they didn't all agree as to what the next steps were. You had some students saying under no circumstances should there ever, ever, ever be police on our campus. But please also protect us, police, should there be a shooting. And then some who hold that position said, we shouldn't even have to worry to begin with. Address the underlying issue behind this violence, which, of course, the Seattle Public School System is not going to be able to truly do. Parents simply said, we want our kids to feel safe. I want to feel safe as a parent that my kid is on campus, not at risk of being shot. Now, the school district, as I recall, said, hey, we're probably going to get something to you by March, which is why we're just now getting it on June 7th. Well, yesterday was June 7th when we got it. And I look at their plan. It's called Reach Out Seattle, something embraced by the mayor, Bruce Harrell. Reach Out Seattle. And the plan is to teach adults what to look for so they can intervene early before their kid goes through some kind of mental health crisis where, you know, in a worst case scenario, they end up turning violent. And in the least worst case scenario, they're just going through something that they need to talk about. And it's causing them undue stress, which then takes a toll, not just on their emotional well-being, but also their academics. So we're going to teach you some details about what to look for so you can intervene, much like literally every single other program out there and every single book on this topic does. This is, of course, nothing new, but Seattle Children's Dr. Leslie Walker Harding spoke to Cairo 7 TV, and she's a fan.
The goal is to ultimately decrease the need for high-intensity inpatient hospitalizations by empowering parents, caregivers, and trusted adults to be first responders in the community.
Okay. As much as I don't think this is a plan, if you want to call it that, that can hurt, it's not going to help. That's the unfortunate reality. Because if this was something that would work, we wouldn't actually have to propose it because it's been done before. You've never heard of any kind of book that tells you about, or even just a pamphlet or a blog that tells you the signs that your kid is depressed or stressed or anxious or fill in the blank, right? Every single pamphlet exists for every single different issue, physical health, mental health, whatever it is. This isn't new. This isn't innovative. And the fact of the matter is, the kids who are most likely to turn to violence, they come from households that aren't going to be paying attention to anything that you do because they're usually broken households. Not always, but usually. So I'm not entirely sure this is going to do all that much. Now, can it hurt? No. Is it still wise to put out there and give extra tools to parents to at least make them more aware of what signs could point to anxiety, etc.? Great. There's nothing wrong with that. But I don't want anyone thinking that all of a sudden, because they do this, either in the short or long term, that the school campus is going to suddenly be safe. Kids won't be going through mental health issues anymore. It's well-intentioned. Mayor Bruce Harrell spoke.
How can you learn when you are facing trauma, pain, stress, anxiety, when you have to look over your shoulder and constantly worry about gunfire, violence, bullying?
Now, the latter part of his statement is an often used piece of hyperbole. There are very few kids who legitimately are terrified each and every day, and they're constantly head on a swivel, making sure no one's around them about to shoot them. That's just, and that's a good thing that most people aren't like that. Most kids aren't like that. Most adults aren't like that, including most kids at Ingram High School now. Because remember, this wasn't just some random shooting, and it wasn't a shooting that was taken out on anything, anyone other than the one kid in which there was that alleged disagreement. This was allegedly a targeted shooting. When we usually use the term school shooting, that's not what we think about, is it? That's not what we think about. It happened on campus. Okay. It was a student against a student. Yeah. But that's not when I tell you, if I told you there was a school shooting today, you wouldn't say to yourself, oh, it was one individual who targeted another one after a fight. That's not what you would think of. And so I don't even think the kids there are that hyper concerned. They might have some additional concern they didn't have before they experienced being on campus during a school shooting. Sure. I don't know what this is going to accomplish for the kids either. Because now you're saying to the child, the power to help heal yourself, to help address the issue that you're dealing with, or even to give you the tools to know when you're supposed to, as a child, talk to an adult. You're not even giving them that. You're putting this in the hands of another adult. And not all families are going to take this seriously, right? Not all families are going to participate at all. So tell me again why you waited all this time. Because when was that Ingram High School shooting? Was it October last year? Why did it take all this time to basically say, here's a pamphlet? That's a pamphlet from 1973. I don't understand why it takes this long to come up with nothing. And I certainly don't understand why any media outlet, any politician, any activist would be okay with this or satisfied with this. Not immediately question whether or not this is going to make a lick of a difference, because it's not. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Travel.
So that TSA line reservation program that SeaTac uses, it's apparently expanding. It's going to be called something else, although not locally. It'd still be called Sea Spot Saver. It doesn't make any sense to me. The more I think about it, the less it makes sense. So it's coming from Clear, but in this case, it's free. So you've seen the Clear kiosks. You walk up. It's a paid membership program. I think you either scan your fingertip or maybe your eyes, something like that. It knows who you are. You don't have to show any ID. And then they escort you to the front of the line, and you go through your – it's usually a TSA pre-check. That's the only place I've seen it be used, at least. And then you just go through the normal – procedure. This idea that you don't have to show your ID is so utterly meaningless to me. Who travels without an ID? Is it really that much of a hassle to pull the ID out versus having to get your retina scanned or your fingerprint scanned?
It would literally be effort to not bring my ID.
I would have to go out of my way to say, I'm choosing not to bring my ID for whatever reason, which is most likely going to be connected to, I just committed a crime and I don't want to make it easy for you to identify me. That's the only reason why you might not fly or travel, or even leave your home without your driver's license. So in this case, it's free. It's going to be at 20 airports, but it's going to work a little bit differently than traditional Clear. A few days, or even really a few weeks before your flight, you go to the Clear app, you go to the Clear website, you put in your information. My name is Jason, and I'm flying to Vegas on Delta on June 7th at 5 p.m., I want to show up and get in line and be just escorted to the front at 4 p.m., 4:15, whatever it happens to be. And then you show up, you get escorted through the TSA line where you'll still have to go through security. But in this case, you're going through security as normal. Even if you have pre-check, if you sign up for the service and you use the service, they'll escort you to the front of the line, assuming you show up during your time period. But you still have to do the whole, I'm taking off my shoes, my large coats, pulling the laptop out of the bag. You're still going to have to do all of that. Now, the Seattle Times, the time slots are divided into 15-minute increments and are capped at a maximum number of people. 10 seems common. And they do that to avoid bottlenecks. One person can reserve spots for their entire group. Passengers are granted a 20-minute grace period in case they are running late. Now, in my experiences, seeing people late it never seems like they're just 20 minutes late. It always seems like they're, oh my God, please let me get to the front of this line. They're calling for final boarding late. That's generally the late that I've experienced or seen people experience. I don't know if this is going to do anything other. Let's say it's a 5 o'clock flight or 6 o'clock flight, 7 o'clock flight, and it's at SeaTac. And I don't want to be waiting in a long line that's 45 minutes. And I hate the idea of getting there so early that I'm just going to be seated at the gate for, you know, an hour and a half without any access to a working USB port because they can never get them to work. And that's even if you can find a seat to begin with. I feel like what you're going to end up doing, let's say you want to get in at 5:15, okay, which is 45 minutes before your flight or an hour and a half before, whatever it is. Well, you're not leaving your home at about 4:45, right? You're going to leave your house probably 3:30, depending on where you live.
Yeah.
You're leaving at 3:30 because you know you're going to get stuck in traffic. Now, let's say in a world in which it's a 7:15 pickup or spot on the line for an 8:15 flight. I still am willing to bet you're going to get there at like 6 o'clock. You're going to get to the airport early because you're going to say, God forbid there's traffic. I don't want to miss my flight. I'm already pushing it because my line appointment is only 45 minutes before my flight. Let me get there extra early, which kind of defeats the whole purpose of this spot saver. So one of two things is going to happen in that case. Number one, you will say, okay, I guess I'll hang out in the airport area pre-security, and depending on the air, SeaTac, that's an awful idea. There's really nothing for you to do. Some airports, there are some restaurants or bars, I guess, but for the most part, not really. So that happens, number one. Or number two, you say, screw it, I'm early, I'm just going to get in line because I'm going to be bored otherwise. That's what's going to happen. I don't understand this at all. There's nothing about this that seems like it's viable. And I know that they claim the Sea Spot Saver is a godsend. I don't know anyone who's ever taken it. I can't recall any television station interviewing someone who's taken it and said, oh, this is the best thing in the world. It just seems like one of those gimmicks that sounds like it could work and do something, but won't be used. And even if it is, it doesn't really mean anything. It's the equivalent of remember they made this was pre-COVID, where you could sign up your friend to come with you through security if they didn't have a ticket and you just wanted someone to hang out with in the concourse. So rather than sitting at the bar alone or at a restaurant alone as you're waiting for your flight, or maybe you've got connecting flights and you've got a friend in town who you haven't seen forever, it's not enough time for you to leave the airport, but you want to inconvenience them and guilt them into hanging out with you. So you sign them up for this pass. They get through, but they can't get on a flight because they don't have any paperwork for that. That was another thing they made a big deal about. Not sure anyone has ever done that. I don't think anyone has even used that.
That sounds tremendously lame unless it's like an unaccompanied minor, right?
Even then, whatever.
Just let them go sit at the bar.
Around. There's a little kids area.
You should try the spot saver thing, though, on your next trip.
Why would I do that? It doesn't work for TSA pre-check.
Oh. That's so pre-check's better.
Yeah, pre-check. You don't have to take off your shoes or anything.
I just want to hear you complain about it with firsthand experiences.
Okay. Let me ask you something for a second here.
Okay.
I'm going to do so in a very snarky way to make my point.
Sure.
Have you ever known me to go on any kind of trip in which I have not been able to find something, anything, literally anything to complain about?
No, I have not.
Okay, so you're asking me to do something with the sole purpose of finding something to complain about when you know, regardless, I will find something to complain about.
Yeah, okay.
And even if I don't find something new, what do I end up going to complain about?
You'll take light rail or something.
No, what do I normally complain about?
What is that sign language?
Say USB ports, dummy.
Oh, USB ports.
It would have been funny had you said dummy because I was calling you that, but push the button.
What's trending in Seattle?
So Seattle City Council might bleed the wealthy even more dry, pushing them out of the city perhaps. They just introduced via Alex Peterson another capital gains tax. Yet again, another capital gains tax. This one on the local level instead of the state level, where it's at 7%. But in Seattle, assuming this passes, and I'm willing to bet it does, it'll be 2%. So you're effectively having people pay the tax two times at 2%. Now, Alex Peterson said that this would replace the water utility taxes that Seattleites pay for.
Adopting a more fair and progressive capital gains tax would ensure that no one has to pay taxes for their drinking water again, making this the first time Seattle has proactively eliminated a regressive tax.
Ooh, so impressive. You're eliminating a regressive tax. You say that as if regressive taxes are bad. All that means is your taxes, effectively, it means it's based on consumption, right? This is a tax that's the same for everyone, regardless of their income. And so, for example, a sales tax. You go in and you buy a Snickers. Well, in Seattle, you pay 8.8% if you are low income, if you're max. I pay 8.8% as the talent. Now, we make different amounts of money with separated by lots of zeros in both directions. We're both paying 8%, and that's supposed to be unfair because I'm wealthy and you're not, and we purchase the same thing. And I suppose in that case, you are, in that one instance, paying a disproportionate, quote-unquote, amount as it relates to your net worth or your salary or your weekly paycheck, whatever it is, than I am. Yes, in that one case. But you know what you're not doing? You're not also buying X, Y, and Z. Because the wealthier you are, the more you tend to spend your money. And so the wealthy are paying based on their consumption, which seems fair. And you're paying based on your consumption, which only seems unfair to the people who think I should, just because I happen to be wealthy or someone happens to be a billionaire, should be paying more because they can. Well, simply being in a position where you can pay more doesn't mean that it's fair for them to pay more. Why is it that in this case, the pay-as-you-use tax is wrong? And yet, what are Democrats proposing as a way to get rid of the gas tax? What are they proposing? Pay by the mile, a consumption tax. So someone who is poor, I would argue, likely going to live farther away from their workplace, right? I mean, if there's someone who lives in Tukwila and works in Seattle, I'm guessing they're going to be lower income than someone who lives in Seattle. And so is that person using a disproportionate number, amount of their salary on just driving? Yeah. Why are the Democrats proposing that? Isn't that a regressive tax? All regressive taxes are wrong. They don't, of course, answer that. Partly because that question is never posed to them. But they don't ever answer that. And I love this. There's a comment here that says, from Alex Peterson, everyone will benefit from this, but the utility tax is regressive, so we're leading with prudence and fiscal accountability, responsibility, by removing a tax first. Everyone will benefit from this. How does the wealthy benefit from this? You're now taxing them 2% on top of the 7% of their capital gains, and you're only targeting them. How do they benefit? When you look specifically at the water tax, this would save everyone about $100 a year. The typical Seattle household pays about $100 a year in taxes for their water utility. Okay. That includes the wealthy, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Go with me here because I'm not great with math.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to do this a little bit on air. But they say this tax, capital gains tax, will raise $50 million. Now, it's only on the very, very, very wealthy. Not that many very, very, very wealthy people who live in Seattle to the point where they would be impacted by this tax. I'm willing to bet, even though I'm not great at math, that the 2% on their capital gains will be more than $100 to get to $50 million.
I would think so, yes.
I'm just throwing that out. Again, I could be wrong. My math could be completely off. Maybe, in fact, it is $102, and it's not that big of it. It's just a wash. But of course, that's not the case. So how does everybody benefit? I benefit. I'm not going to have to pay a capital gains tax. You benefit because you're poor. So, okay, great. You saved $100. But why is it fair to go after someone who worked really hard to get that money? There's this assumption from folks on the left, not all folks on the left, but a lot, that the person who earned their money didn't truly earn it. There was a speech, It was back in 2017, I think, maybe 2016, a little bit early. Weirdly enough, it's in my book, What's Killing America, which goes on sale. Oh, right now, you can pre-order. Barack Obama was giving a campaign speech, a stump speech, and for the most part, it was the same stump speech you heard over and over and over again, talking about the economy and how he was brilliant, which was a lie. But at some point, he was talking about the wealthy and how they have to pay their quote-unquote fair share. And some of you probably remember the speech. He said, that business of yours, you didn't build that. You didn't build that. You see, you got to where you were because of a teacher. You got to where you were because you were driving on a road that was built by the government, that was constructed by the government. You got to a school that got government funding. You didn't build that yourself. There were other people who got you there. Huh. Well, first of all, the government didn't pay for that school. The government didn't pay for that road. I paid for that road. I paid for that school. Because you funded it with tax dollars. And with all due respect to the teachers who are important, guess what they get in response to them imparting knowledge to me that I use to develop myself further and then start a business? They get a paycheck. It's weird how that works. The person who actually built that road, you know what they get? A paycheck. You know who paid for it? Me. You, the taxpayer. But they believe you didn't get to where you were. They got you there. Sure, you got a little bit of talent, maybe a little bit of luck, but they got you there because the government is the only thing that can allow you to succeed. And without them, you would be nothing. Now, if that were the case, wouldn't we have a lot more completely successful, wealthy billionaires and trillionaires? If it was merely, oh, the government decided to do it? It is a twisted way to think about someone's value and someone's talent. But that's the prevailing opinion, I think, from liberals. In this case, I don't think it's like a far left thing. I think progressives and liberals, just Democrats, generally think that. If you disagree, you can send me a text. In fact, while you're at it, why don't you pick the news for the 4:45 segment? Story number one, CNN insiders give us a look at what really was behind Chris Licht's exit. Or Daniel Penny, the Marine, the veteran, accused of that subway chokehold, he reveals why he decided to step in. He did an interview with Fox News Digital. Which story should I cover? 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show.
Sammamish, Kent, Olympia, Everett.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Centralia, Lakewood.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services, online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore the stories of Seattle. And instead, we focus our attention on all of the communities you live in and care about most. Now, we start with an update in the city of Sammamish. We, of course, brought you the story this week of Wasim Fayed. He is now a former planning commissioner. Former because of the pressure that was put on him, the calls for boycotts, the calls to go after his restaurant, his family business, Tenor, because he made some controversial comments.
In my opinion, these are people that are promoting diseases and infestation.
Please, he's not talking about LGBT. Oh, he is. Okay, he's talking about gay people.
Into the mind of our kids in schools. So we as a community, we should stand up for this. And that's my belief, and that's where I come from, that I don't believe this is the right way of life. God created us a male and a female. And to go and go against the creation of God and to spread diseases in the community is something that we should speak up against. Or at least I would like to speak up against, because that goes against my belief.
Okay. So somehow, even though it happened at a planning commission meeting on like a Tuesday, whenever, what was June 1st? I think it was a Tuesday, maybe a Monday.
June 1st would have been a week ago.
Yeah.
So a Thursday.
Was it a Thursday?
Yeah.
Oh, was today the 8th?
It is.
Oh, yeah, it is day. I think I said that. So my point, though, however, is still valid in that who shows up to a planning commission meeting? So how in God's name did this spread so quickly? And yet within, like, I think 3 days, this had spread amongst the sort of the Sammamish local Facebook groups. It got posted, and then all of a sudden everyone was outraged. And I understand why people were outraged by his comments. And they were calling for him to resign because he runs Tenor Restaurant. They wanted any business that offers any of the products that they sell, because there's one of those restaurants that has products that they sell, they wanted them to get banned. And so they had an updated meeting, or a new meeting, just the other day. And by then, Wasim Fayed had announced he was stepping down. He was resigning. But folks like Cheryl started to lay into him anyway.
To show that we are not afraid of hatred and we are not afraid of misinformation.
Heroes.
Everyone has a voice, but with that comes responsibility and consequences.
Okay.
We are here to show that we will continue to have our respectful voices heard, continue to create a safe community in Sammamish and all over, and treat all humans with dignity.
Okay. All humans with dignity? Okay. So when the devout Muslim, speaking from a religious perspective, which he said at the beginning, he said, this is my religious belief. When a devout Muslim says something, a bunch of white ladies get a little upset. Because the Muslim man is not supposed to get out of his lane. And if you truly believe that, keep that to yourself. Now, there was another person who spoke during the public comment, even though it could have been done during the just normal meeting, was a planning commission member, Carrie Bosworth. She said that she should not have remained silent as he was speaking his filth. I should have said something, so please, for the love of God, don't go after me and cancel me for not saying anything. Please, 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 I beg of you.
I support and value our LGBTQIA plus community.
You can tell she's almost crying. Heart. All of her heart.
You fill my life with joy and love. What inspires me most by this community is your courage to be your most authentic self.
Oh my God, I'm going to puke. Stop with the pandering. Sorry, stop with the pandering. Stop it. Stop it. You don't have to talk like that. Seriously, you don't have to talk like that. I cannot stand this. It's like you're going out of your way to pretend that a community means something more to you than it actually does, purely to get some credit, social currency. You don't have to talk like that. I assume people are just good people. I just assume people are nice. I mean, not progressive, but I mean, I assume people are just like normal human beings. I don't need to have a special place in your heart. And by the way, do you appreciate that? I'm a gay man and I'm yelling at you. I'm being my authentic self, which is kind of a jerk. Does that fill your heart?
I'm in shock, just as you are.
No, you're not.
That while my thoughts were running a mile a minute, my voice was not.
Oh, why is that?
Therefore, I want to acknowledge that moment. May our voices never be absent.
Are you expecting it to happen again? I feel like the next person who holds those views is probably not going to say anything, whether on the planning commission or on the city council. So another update we have exclusively for you. In fact, we have it up at ktth.com. PCC Market. Are you familiar with PCC Markets?
Yeah. I like PCC.
I mean, they're like a Whole Foods meets a Trader Joe's, but local, and we're supposed to pretend that they're better.
Yeah, there's one close to my house.
Yeah. So they put out a statement. It turns out, and thanks to a listener who gave me this tip, they pulled or are in the process of pulling all the products from Tenor Restaurant from its shelves. And I think they serve probably like hummus or falafel, something like that. Something that's easily sold at a retail shop. Due to the hateful and homophobic comments made by Wasim Fayed, the owner of Tenor, PCC removed Tenor products from our shelf. His words do not align with PCC's statement of equity and inclusion that acknowledges our recognition of and commitment to justice-centered change within the co-op and community food systems. That last part doesn't make any sense to me, but okay. Here's something they just did. PCC just said that comments made by business owners of the products that they sell, whether or not they're inspired by one's religion, doesn't matter. Their comments have to align with their equity and inclusion statement. And I'm willing to bet they're not doing anything to ensure that that's even true. If you were serious about your commitment to equity and that statement and your general values, I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's what you think it is. We stand for blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. Wouldn't you be proactive and make sure that the products that you're holding, the viewpoint is shared by whomever is in charge, the leadership? Wouldn't you be proactive about it? Or are you only getting involved after there's a call for you to get involved. Certainly during a month in which you, again, earn some social currency. Because if this is going to, and by the way, I'm not even saying it's wrong to sometimes make moves like this, right? I don't believe that. If in a non-religious, and I used this example earlier today, because there's not a religion unless, again, you pervert the religion and you are Hamas. If he came out and said, I hate all Jews, black people are the worst. If he did something like that, of course, we would want nothing to do with him. He's not a good, he's not a reflection of our values. He is not someone who we would want to give money to, right? I think most people would say that. Folks right now on the right are doing that with Target and are doing that with Bud Light. But if you're going to do this based on a religious perspective, I would posit to you, if you're truly committed to that, you would not allow any devout Muslim, Christian, Jewish business owner have any products on your shelves. Because generally, there is a conflict between those religious beliefs, if they're devout, right, if they're orthodox, and general LGBT issues. There just isn't. And so either be proactive or just, you don't have to put out a statement asking for some plaudits, okay? I'm not going to pat you on the back for this. I think there's some nuance to this conversation. I think there is, I think it's more complex than some people might think it is, but there are some issues there that are almost certainly not going to be addressed because it might show them to be either a hypocrite or not fully committed to that equity statement. And then finally, we have another dumb bear story. This one is out of Mill Creek. They're used to seeing silver foxes and otters and wolves. But now they see a bear. The bear hurt its leg. This bear was apparently wandering around the neighborhood. And even though it is 2023, people were gawking at him. This isn't Capitol Hill. This isn't the cuff, I can imagine them saying, which is just a kind of a disgusting.
What are you talking about?
Hey, I'm in the middle of a segment. Turn off your microphone.
Okay.
Don't do that again. This is serious stuff. And I know you think, oh, it's not serious. We just did a story about the LGBT community, and now I've got an actual instance in which a bear is being targeted. This bear was rummaging through trash and... Is this about an actual bear?
I tried to tell you.
Well, you didn't do a very good job, did you? What did I tell you about any stories about bears? You show me images, so I know what we're talking about. You know I'm going to immediately go there. We put everything in thematic order. You think I went from an LGBTQ issue to an issue about a black bear? I thought this was like some equity thing. You're a jerk. You set me up to fail, and that's bad producing. So this bear, an actual bear, like, oh, it went into one woman's driveway, presumably looking for a ride back to the woods, but it wasn't a Kia that they found because the bear knew how to steal it because of TikTok. And then it went into various people's backyards, and some folks spoke with Como TV.
It hopped over our fence, and then I just told my mother to get inside. We were looking at it through the window, and then I hopped over my neighbor's fence.
It's always interesting to hear an example of the different kinds of relationships people have with their mothers, at least in relationship to mine, because I would say, Mom, there's a bear. And then just push her out. Go check it out. Tell what's going on with the bear. Go find out its little leg is hurt. Go help it. Just don't make eye contact.
Yeah, are you supposed to play dead if it... How does the hurt leg factor into the equation here? How does that factor?
I've never remembered, even in the segment in which we go through the differences between black and brown bears and how you're supposed to react, I always get it confused. So something was clearly wrong with this bear's leg, apparently. Chase Gunnell is a spokesperson with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, which changed my life the other day by telling me it was okay to go outside because everyone belongs outside. He spoke with Como TV.
Because it was up and moving in the middle of the day, because it had likely been hit by a car and had an injury, it did create a little bit more attention.
Sad. Apparently, they know where the bear is now. It's on a green belt. And they're all like, we're not going to disturb it.
The bear, after it crossed a busy roadway, went into a large green belt and seems to be napping down in there. We don't want to disturb it. We want to let it stay in that green belt. It's a safe place for it to be.
I mean, you do understand it's going to awaken at some point. It's not just not napping there forever. This is not the winter. I do like the idea that they found the one green belt that doesn't have any homeless people. Perhaps because the bear ate them. But this is the one green belt that doesn't actually have any homeless people. So maybe we should just leave it there. If anything, it'll be a disincentive for the homeless to take over. Hashtag Mill Creek. Why are you giving me that look? It's a fair observation.
Yeah, no, it was good. That's an astute observation.
Yeah.
No doubt.
That's why they pay me the big bucks. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. You pick the next story. Which one should I discuss? The insiders giving us some dirt on CNN and why Chris Licht was canned? Or Daniel Penny, the Marine vet accused in that subway chokehold? He explains why he stepped in. Send me your text messages. I will discuss the story you vote for. 1-800-465-8770. It's the Jason Rand Show.
Breaking news.
You're listening to the Jason Rand Show. We have some breaking news. Donald Trump, former president, says he has been indicted on federal charges coming out of the special counsel Jack Smith investigation that has been going on for a very long time. This was a special counsel that was appointed by the Attorney General Merrick Garland in November of last year. This was all tied to the alleged improper storing of classified documents at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. We just saw the post that was made on Truth Social that says, quote, "The corrupt Biden administration has informed my attorneys that I have been indicted, seemingly over the boxes hoax, even though Joe Biden has 1,850 boxes at the University of Delaware, additional boxes in Chinatown, D.C., with even more boxes at the University of Pennsylvania, and documents strewn all over his garage floor where he parks his Corvette, and which is, quote-unquote, secured by only a garage door that is paper-thin and open much of the time." Now, the Justice Department has been investigating this after the FBI conducted that. Really, it was an unprecedented raid on Mar-a-Lago, on a former president's residence, is not something anyone would even think possible. And yet that's exactly what has occurred. Fox News has just confirmed the indictment, so we're not just relying on this piece of information via a Truth Social post, but the president had been given indications that he expected that this was going to happen. Now, usually when your lawyers meet with the DOJ, that signals that they're seriously going to move forward. And we learned this week on Monday, in fact, that Trump's attorneys, James Trustee, Lindsey Halligan, John Rowley, they met with the Justice Department after requesting this meeting to, quote, discuss the ongoing injustice that is being perpetrated by the special counsel and his prosecutors. Now, we don't know whether or not Jack Smith was in that particular meeting, but we knew that it was coming at that time because they were concerned about the next steps. This, and I'm assuming it is in fact tied directly to the documents that were, they argue, improperly stored, as they should have been, because they are classified. The president has come out many times saying, as president, he was someone who determined, based on the Records Act, that, yeah, he's declassifying. He declassified them. And, you know, we don't know all the details as to what was actually in the documents that were classified. A document being classified doesn't necessarily mean there was a legitimate reason to classify them, right? We've heard the claim of the overuse of classification status many, many, many times. And while that's obviously not the case in every single document, we do see stories like this, not just around Trump, but around all presidents, where, yeah, it's not always that big of a deal. Just because it's called classified doesn't mean that it's that big of a deal. We're not storing, you know, the passwords to the football there. That we're not going to be able to launch nuclear weapons as a result of getting one of these documents. Now, from the Trump team, they said in this letter, at least, that one of the items that was, you know, quote unquote classified, but the president believes declassified, was a letter that former President Obama wrote to Donald Trump upon entering office, starting his term. and presidents will write a letter to the incoming president or president-elect just to give them some tips. Usually it's photographed and in you know, current standards, what they do is they post it online. So that's one of the items. They said a letter from Kim Jong-un, a birthday dinner menu, and a cocktail napkin were among the items. Now, obviously, they're more than that because of the what many people are pointing to as a photo that shows how unfair this system actually is. The photos that were posted of the documents at the Mar-a-Lago home by the FBI, it was posted online. You remember those documents. And clearly, there's more than just those four items that I just mentioned. This is all going to come down to whether or not the president, by the letter of the law, followed the process to declassify. He says, and his team says, it can be simply me just having a basically just thinking about it, and I can declassify it. Others say, no, there's a little bit more to that. Now, if it turns out they're getting him on like some small technicality versus actively saying and knowingly taking these documents against the law and choosing, again, purposefully choosing not to go about the right way to declassify, that's going to be different than them saying, oh, yeah, he forgot to sign this document. He did everything else but didn't sign the document. That's not going to go over well, right? Because right now he is constantly being reaffirmed their support from the hardcore Donald Trump supporters and Republicans at large looking at this and saying, you're going after this guy because you don't like him. You spent his entire term going after him. You pursued the false Russia claims. This is just you trying to stop him from running for president. He is the Republican leader right now in the campaign. It's the Jason Rant Show.